Reese on the radio, making sense of the news. Yeah, even when it makes no sense at all. Now on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Grabbing all of this stuff in front of me because I got to make sure that I'm raring to go. 860-522-WTIC. We'll get to your phone calls, I promise, soon enough. I got all of this stuff to get to, and I don't want to leave it on the cutting room floor. And that's kind of the whole purpose of doing this thing, is to get that stuff out of there. So let's do some news. Someone asked me, was it last week after the primary election, after Mamdani beat Andrew Cuomo, someone asked me whether or not Donald Trump would endorse Eric Adams for mayor. Well, it looks like President Donald Trump has given his endorsement to the mayor of New York. He said that pretty much that's the only way to go. Other than that, it's Mamdani's race to lose. He doesn't believe that the city is going to go to a communist, but it could very well. And Donald Trump is prepared to go to war if that's the case. So he's openly endorsed Eric Adams, which probably is going to tick off, if not annoy, the Raspberry Beret. And for those of you who don't know who that is, that's Curtis Sliwa. That's what I call him. It's very rare that I ever refer to him by name. I call him the Raspberry Beret. It's just what I do. So I hope you understand that. Former FBI agent Peter Strzok, remember him? Well, it looks like he'll finally get his chance to smell Trump supporters at his local Walmart, as President Donald Trump is selling a $250 bottle of cologne and perfume called Victory 4547. I don't know why he's doing this. I don't know why. I know it's to troll. He is a troller. Donald Trump is. Why? $250? At some point, you've got to ask yourself, one, who would buy it? And two, whether or not he's selling it to tick off his detractors or people in the media. I heard, what's her name, Lauren Phillips, whatever her name is on CNN, talking about, oh, what does MAGA smell like? I don't know. People are already saying that it smells like white trash, things like that. Whatever. It's so easy. No one's going to purchase this, and if they do, it's for a limited time, and people will keep it to themselves. But I know some people who will buy it that think it'll be worth something later on. I have no idea. Speaking of Zohran Mamdani and his surprise victory over Democratic mayor primary last weekend, it looks like people are taking notice. Isaac Toledano, who is the CEO and co-founder of BH Group, one of South Florida's most active luxury developers, said to Newsweek that within a day of the primary results, we had serious inquiries from buyers in Manhattan and Connecticut. One asked about the Ritz-Carlton residences in West Palm Beach, and others talked about West Pompano Beach hotel and residences. For many wealthy buyers looking into relocating from New York City to Florida, the idea of leaving the Big Apple is more than a plan B in case Mamdani wins the mayoral election later this year. It's a strategic investment that they are doing right now. So we're talking, again, I told you that the wealthy in Connecticut were going to feel this, because if you run businesses, if you work, if you have a lucrative job in Manhattan, you work in the financial institutions and you live in Connecticut, he's going to want to tax you. It's not like Cuomo didn't do that. Remember all of those people, all those nurses who came from out of town to work in New York? He found a way to tax them. That's what's going to happen. Also, to give you a slight look at what New York is going to be like, 10,000 city workers in Philadelphia just went on strike after their demands for higher pay weren't agreed upon. And 9/11 operators, trash collectors, rec center staffers, they've all gone on strike. And the mayor told residents not to take out their trash and to have patience while calling 911. In Philadelphia. Philadelphia. There's going to be a lot of mayhem there. This is why I don't like public worker unions. Anyway, and finally, I didn't see the first one. I'm sure people might be excited for this, but Hollywood obviously has run out of options. The Devil Wears Prada is going to make a sequel. I figured I'd lighten it up a little bit. It looks like Anne Hathaway, Meryl Streep, Emily Blunt, and Stanley Tucci are all set to reprise their roles in that film, The Devil Wears Prada 2. Looks like that's happening. So, you know, if you're excited about that, yay. Only reason why I'm talking about it because it's in the news. Let's go to my good friend, Frank Faison. What's going on, sir?
Yo, Reese.
Yes.
Because it each day it's Ferris Freud checking in from the Grand Cayman.
And you're
Myrtle
calling
Beach,
on Frank's telephone number?
Well, you might say that, but what I wanted to tell the audience and you is that it's National Take Back Talk Radio Day, and Frank from Woodbridge would be amazed to see what I see down here. Now, the Grand Cayman, of course, is one of the resort hotels at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I don't know if you've been here recently.
Are you in a cave?
Yes, I am in a cave. Can you hear my words?
No, I can't hear you. It sounds like you're in a cave. Let's get Adam in East Hartford. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Reese, thanks a million for taking my call. You're a great talk show host, and you're fair to everybody. Thank you for taking my call.
I try, sir. What do you got?
Hey, today, though, because I want to stay on topic. Last time I screwed up and I went off topic, but I wanted
That's
to
okay.
say, I was. But you mentioned just before I called, Sliwa, Curtis Sliwa.
Yeah.
Got to go with him, right?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. I've never been a fan of Curtis Sliwa. I think he is, you know, he's a character, but I don't think he's suited for public office. I just don't. And Republicans don't take him seriously anyway. And let me give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. There hasn't been a real conservative or real Republican to run New York since Giuliani. There just hasn't.
Exactly.
That's the reason why we got Bloomberg. Because no one, and Giuliani, I blame for Bloomberg because he endorsed him, allowing him to actually switch his party, New York did, allow him to come in and run as a independent, then a Republican, then back as an independent, knowing damn well this guy has always been a liberal. It's blown my mind. I don't get it. But
I agree with you. It's going to be bad news if that Ramdani gets in.
Ramdani, it is. The sad part is that, and I think the problem is, a perfect storm has come up upon New York. And not that I care, but perfect storms are my business. A perfect storm of a scandal-ridden Eric Adams that a lot of people on the left feel he betrayed them by siding with Trump. And that's going to hurt him and his reelection campaign. That's just the way it is. Adam, I'm sorry. It's just too much noise. All that wind and stuff. It's just not good for business. And I think that the last days of a Republican, a true Republican, or even a moderate Republican in New York, those days are over. The people who have taken over that city, I mean, you have to, let's think about it. Over 80% of registered voters in New York City, the biggest city in the country, the capital of the world, 83% of registered voters didn't even bother to show up to the primary. With everything that is at stake, illegal immigration, high prices, people leaving in droves. In the last 5 years, they've hemorrhaged hundreds of thousands of people. The tax burden on the wealthiest in that city has grown exponentially over the last 5 years. Why? Because they have one, too many immigrants, two, too many people who can't make ends meet. The tax burden on those people is overwhelming, and they're all leaving. They're all, and they're aged out. Don't forget that. Some people try to stay in their rent-controlled apartments, on the Upper West and the Upper East Side, but everything else has become so dangerous, they have to leave. They have to downsize. So what are they going to do? They're going to leave. And as consequential as it is to have somebody who understands those burdens, they didn't show up. They allowed the radicals, that 17%, to put this guy in the driver's seat. Unless it was all some psych, you know, it was all some psych fake. Oops, we were faking it. We just wanted to put him in and then we wanted him back. I don't know. But 83%, that's a lot of folks. We had at least 46% in the gubernatorial race in Connecticut. At least, I think it was like 43% of registered voters did not show up. And at a margin of 174,000 votes between the two, Stefanowski and Lamont. The fact that people are not engaging, knowing damn well that there are fiscal matters on the ballot that's going to make or break a city, maybe they don't care. Maybe some people are already looking at the front door. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe some people are just going, I'm not long for this place. Why participate? And that's happening because places like Tennessee, places like Texas, places like the aforementioned Florida, those places are growing in residents. And the beauty is, this is true, with the exception of towns like Houston and where's another one? Maybe a little bit of San Antonio. But many of these places are not bringing their politics with them. A lot of people have learned, you know, it's like I'm always fascinated that it's very rare that Cubans come to Florida and then, you know, after knowing what it's like to be under that regime, come to Florida and after 20 years go, you know, I miss a little bit of that socialism. They never do. They never do. We never, ever see it. Because they recognize it and they teach it to their kids. It was so refreshing to see rapper Pitbull talk about that on some of these podcasts. I think he said it on that show Drink Champs, which is overwhelmingly hip hop and African American infused. He got on there talking about the importance of being American, the importance of capitalism and people embracing communism and socialism and how that's not a good thing, and talked about his father and talked about his uncle living in Cuba. You know, that's a growing sentiment. So I don't know. It's likely. Lisa says, I love your show. It's the best part of my day when I'm driving home from work. I live in Tallinn County in Connecticut. I'm happy to talk about state politics. I laugh every time I hear you're the president of the Chris Murphy fan club. I'd like to be a part of that fan club. Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate you, Lisa. Thank you. And thank you for listening on the drive home. I got another letter I need to read. I need to read it off the air as well. You know what? Let's go. Ralph is in South Carolina. Let me give him on a holler. He hasn't been on in a bit. How are you, sir?
Oh, just lovely, Reese. I'm glad New York's got that problem and we don't down here. Let me, you know, they talk about the high cost of living in New York, Reese. What's the biggest part of it? Taxes, taxes, and more taxes.
Right.
And yeah. this is the biggest part of your problem. What you're going to see, I may be wrong, but if this idiot gets elected and the people in New York are stupid, I mean, that they've proven that, you're going to have a traffic backup on 95 South so bad.
That's good. That's very likely.
Because these people with money, they're not going to stay there. They can go to Florida and not pay any income tax. Now, he wants to increase the taxes, which he doesn't have authority to do, income tax or on businesses. He has no authority to do that. If the governor said none of those are being raised. So what's he going to do now with all his plans and no money?
I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to get a coalition. And I think this guy is that kind of radical. He's got the Mahmoud Khalil gene in him. And what he's going to do come November, if not before November, he is going to get the activists and protest class to march the streets of New York and demand that people pay extra for all of the goodies he's proposing. And people are going to leave anyway. And we're going to see bread lines in New York if he wins. I can guarantee you will see 70-style mayhem. He wants to, listen, Ralph, he wants to decriminalize drug possession in New York and downsize the police by injecting social workers.
Yeah, what do you do if you, some poor woman gets raped? She calls a social worker?
Call a crackhead, apparently.
Is like, that how it works?
Yeah. And again, this everything about this guy is... I do believe this. This is what I believe. I really do believe that this isn't about some ideological bent that he or any of the others do. Truthfully, I believe their objective is to destroy the place that they hate. And what better spot than to destroy other than New York City, which is, again, we're talking about the business capital of the world. And this is going to, and I know, I say this at the risk of sounding controversial, Ralph. But look, I'm looking at the same group of people who last year were trying to rationalize Osama bin Laden's attack on the World Trade Center and our capital and our state and our country capital in Washington, D.C. We're looking at radicals who tried to explain away that carnage in a reasonable way. Oh, I read his manifesto and I kind of get it. Imagine those same radicals in charge in New York City finding a way to fundamentally break down New York City and turn it into a cesspool, a hellhole.
You remember Chuck Schumer's words to the Supreme Court, you start the wind, you reap the whirlwind?
Reap the whirlwind. That's all I think. I think that there's a degree of terrorism in New York City that is going to happen through public policy, through guys like and supporters of Zohran Mamdani.
My personal opinion, if these keep pushing, these people, these nutcases, keep pushing and pushing. You know, they call it the right, whatever you want to call it. I think one of these days they're going to say, okay, it's time to push back. And it's not going to be pretty.
I feel that way. Like I said, I don't think the people in New York who have the power to, I think that they are too ideologically afraid to push back on this. They have psyched themselves out that says any pushback appears privileged, appears Islamophobic, racist, classist, whatever the case may be, that they have been so brainwashed into thinking that their own self-preservation, right, their own preservation is a slight to those who are less less privileged, that they will allow them, in essence, sort of like drop everything that they own and leave it for them to just pick up and then walk away. I do believe that.
But how,
I really do.
Reese, how can anybody who calls himself an American vote for this scumbag?
They don't think that they're an American. There's a poll today, Ralph. There's a poll today that shows that Republicans are just under 100% proud to be American. Just under 100%. The Democrat Party is polling in the low 30s about being proud to be an American. If New York is if we're talking New York being 84% liberal and Democrat, they don't care about this country and they are willing to destroy it just so they can feel better about themselves.
Well, they won't feel better about themselves when it hits the fan and it all falls apart and they're out of money and their fast buses don't go anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
What are they going to do? What are they going to say then? Oops. Is that it?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know, sir. That's where they are. Thank you, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. Roland, we can take an intermission, pay some bills right now? I guess so. Okay, we'll take an intermission. We'll be back. Stay on the phones. Give us a call at 860-522-WTIC. It's Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Hey, whoa, hold up. 100 candles on the cake? Who do you think's lighting this?
Wasn't any breaking news. That's my fault. I did it again. I do it every time. I give it. Oh, okay, good. We're back. It's Reese on the Radio News Talk 1080 WTIC. Craig in the car is in the chat room. Lori says, after the obliteration of New York City, it just might cure the city of being anti-Republican. And I doubt Donald Trump, the DOJ, with the overt communist anti-Semitism, may put federal dollars at stake, too. Yeah, what I'm waiting for, Lori, and I think it's going to be interesting to watch in the coming days, is this lawsuit the DOJ has against Los Angeles. That's going to be interesting because that lawsuit is going after Los Angeles for protecting illegals over regular residents. And it's somewhat of a civil rights case. But in essence, it's ignoring federal law because that's what Los Angeles is doing. It's saying that we're not going to cooperate with federal law. The federal law is that illegals cannot be in the country. Now, we've had sanctuary cities across the country for a lot of years, but it has always been the federal government that has been, I would say, reticent to speak up, if not do anything about it. But after the actions of late with the riots that were taking place in Los Angeles, nothing could be more of a smack in the face to Donald Trump than to do that, knowing that he had a mandate by the American people when he got elected to get illegals out of the country, right? The massive deportation of illegals from the country. For Los Angeles to stand defiantly, the number two city in the country, you thumb your nose at the president of the United States, what do you expect? We're going to use every asset that we have legally to shut that down. Now, a place like Connecticut, maybe the president goes, William Tong, you talk a good game, you're suing me all over the place. You're trying to get some national attention. Maybe I could pimp slap him. Maybe we pimp slap him. Hey, here you go. Bah, we'll drag you into court as well. But I think what he's doing is this, and you'll see this. It'll resonate. If Donald Trump makes any headway with this lawsuit and embarrasses Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, what else is everybody else going to do? What's Justin Ellicker going to do? Nothing. He won't do a thing. He'll have to back down. And it would be nice to watch these people watch Karen Bass try to fight back and lose miserably. Federal government wins. And then ICE just rolls in and just starts hauling people out of the country. I don't have any problem with it. I will say this, and this is something to share just for the sake of. And there are a lot of people who are always talking about how, I think it was Van Jones who said after the 2020 election of Joe Biden, Van Jones was crying on CNN, as he always is. He's one of the crying Negro brothers. He was on there going, now, people like my sister, when they come out of Walmart, will be shouted down by people who support Donald Trump and call their names. People who have been emboldened by him. And that's what they were fearful of. Van Jones let sort of the cat out of the bag on this one. And that was what they were most concerned with, was that people were able to speak freely about the things that they didn't like that was happening in the country. They didn't like the fact that they were losing it. They didn't like the fact that people were pretty much crapping on the country and saying that people who had no sweat equity and it could come in and damage what people had built. And worst off, American citizens were made to pay for it while they struggled trying to make their ends meet. other people were allowed to come into the country and they were just having dollars thrown at them. Hadn't been in the country 5 minutes, had thousands of dollars on credit and debit cards. Had food catered to them. And then imagine you wake up one morning and you find out that someone is staying in a luxury hotel that you had to save up for a year to spend in a couple of years ago. That illegals came into New York City and were staying at those hotels, be they Regencies or Hiltons, whatever the names were called. Hotels that usually cost about a good $200-$300 a night. That illegals were staying in them and they had their food catered. And then you found out on the news that those sons of a brain surgeons were taking the food and throwing it in the trash, uneaten. And complaining that they didn't have more home food, like tostones or whatever the heck it is that they eat. Who cares? But they were throwing away good food that were provided to them with your tax dollars. And they were throwing them away. And they were leaving the hotel rooms a mess. And they were running amok, leaving beds and holes in the beds turned over, holes in the walls, and the places were a mess. And again, you had to pay for the cleanup. Imagine that. And you couldn't say a word. By you even uttering the fact that you had had enough, you were called racist and bigoted and had to shut up. If you wanted to talk about it online, the Biden administration was saying that had to take that down. Meta and Instagram and all that other stuff were citing you or putting you in what's called social media jail. All of that was happening while you tried to talk about those things with your community. Oh, and I didn't even tell you the best part. This one was one of my favorites. This was like a quick blurb in the news that no one talked about. I know I talked about it here. But once some traction got on it, it went away real fast. Anybody remember the story where they wanted the cell phone companies to monitor your text messages to your family and friends about COVID-19 or anything else that was happening in the country? Does anybody remember that? If you are saying to yourself right now, no way that's true, Reese, take me up on the challenge. I dare you. Yeah. That was a real conversation with Washington. To go into your cell phones to actually manage, micromanage your personal text messages. To find out if you were talking about sharing information that was not agreeable to Washington. Yeah. What do you think the Disinformation Governance Board was all about? That was ironically called the DGB. Sounding much like the KGB. What do you think all that was about? You see that? You hear that? I know you're hearing it. If you're hearing it for the first time, a lot of you are very savvy. I don't take you for granted. I know a lot of you know about that. But for those of you who never heard it before, who were saying to yourself, there's no way that's true, Reese. It just isn't. Okay. When you're not driving and you get home, if you remember it, go ahead, look it up. It's there. It wasn't just rumblings. Serious talk about it. And now, think about the place that you're in right now. Where now you can openly tell people about the things that you can't stand anymore. That you're sick and tired of being told that you can't say a word about. That every word that comes out of your mouth is to be cautioned by some group or some organization who, for some odd reason, has the audacity to believe that they have more power than you. That because they write a letter, or because they show, I don't know, concern for the way that you see the world, that they believe, they have the audacity to believe that they have so much power that they can censor you. Or punish you in some sort of way. And finally, people are saying, enough is enough. I don't care what the consequences are. Can I make a weird, like, association here that a lot of people don't know? And a lot of people don't even investigate, but they should. A growing number of private businesses in this country in the last maybe 10 years have all the impetus of all of them, or a large group of them, is in order to make them cancel proof. Because once you own your own, no one can stop you. No one can stop you. Nobody can tell you what to think. Nobody can tell you what to say. That's why you've seen. If you've seen a lot of these growing businesses, these small businesses that are going out of nowhere, you know, growing out of nowhere, it's like, wow, that's a considerable amount of people. Remember, they were back bragging about it during the Biden administration. That's a growing number of people who are starting their own companies. Yeah. Censorship proof. That's why. Let's go to Brian and Tallinn. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Reese. Two things. First one is, I think you have it wrong about the motivations of Mamdani's voters in New York.
Okay.
I don't think they want to destroy the United States.
Okay.
I think they want to remake it to have the rich pay more to support the poor. I think that's their view of a virtuous society.
You think it's that? Now, you think it's as simple as not having having the winners pay for the people who cannot make it to the winner's circle?
Yeah. And okay. I think if you look at who his votes came from, to the rest of the country, they look like they're the rich. They've got expensive houses, they've got high incomes. But for New York City, they see themselves as struggling middle class, and they don't think that they're going to be the ones who have to pay for it.
Okay, all right. And I hear what you're saying, because now if I take consideration of what you mean, Brian, you are kind of saying, without saying, that there's an extreme naivete in this voting block, yes?
Of course there is.
Okay.
I think liberals, by definition, are extremely naive.
Yes. Right. But they can't know. I mean, naive, I'll accept. But they got to know, like, maybe I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. You tell me. I'm under the impression, even if they believe that about Mamdani, that they've got to know that at some point, when the wealthiest who can leave are gone, clearly the people you're talking about, his primary voting base, they become the victims of his ire, right? Because if indeed, like, let's say that the top wealthy all are billionaires, they all decide to leave, so the next tier are the millionaires. If this particular group, his primary voting base, are the millionaires, he doesn't have the billionaires to pick on anymore, so obviously they're the next victim of his ire, so now they're attacked. Do they then realize it when they get overtaxed? Like, is it sort of like when it finally hits them, they finally recognize the error in their ways?
Oh, I'm sure that, well, there will certainly be things that would make them see the error in their ways. One of them is they just get older and wiser,
right?
Which tends to happen.
Yeah.
A second is that they find themselves in the position of the people who they thought had it so easy. My favorite example is George McGovern. I'm sure you remember him.
Sure.
George McGovern ran for president in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
He was the most liberal Democrat they could find, and he had been a senator and very liberal senator for a long time. When he lost for president, he left the Senate, and he started a business. And he was quoted 10 or 20 years later saying, "Man, I never knew how hard business owners had it. If I had known when I was in the Senate, I might have had a different approach to the way I did things."
Wow.
So experience can change people's minds.
How about this one? I'll ask you this, and then we'll go to a break. Brian, do you think that we're on a precipice of the total destruction of New York, or do you think that he'll make it so bad that it will be forced to come back from the brink?
I'm not sure we're on the precipice of destruction, but I think the problem that we have is that neither party, and that includes the Republicans, neither party is serious about doing things that will run the country well.
Okay.
They're each playing to their base and to the most ignorant, loudest, most inflexible parts of their base. And they're both making big mistakes. And it's affecting not just things like whether New York should have city-owned grocery stores, but right. whether this military that we have will even have the money to maintain its equipment, let alone to do operations that we want it to do. But we're not facing the choice of how much are we do we want them to be able to do and what will it cost to do that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Fiscal responsibility has never been our strong suit, at least not in recent years. Good call. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, man. All right, let's take an intermission. We'll be back. Stick around. More news, more views, your phone calls at 860-522-WTIC. It's Reese on the Radio on News Talk 1080. No?
Oh, shit, something wrong.
Uh-oh. That's okay. Well, if they can hear me, I'm still here. We probably have a freeze-up. This is normally where we would take a break, but there's probably a system freeze. So we'll work on that. We'll figure it back out. Let me get my screen back open. You know what? Can I take Dave? I'll take Dave in Newington real quick while we figure it out. How are you, Dave?
Peace. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Listen, do you remember the TV show or the series The Sopranos?
Yeah, I was an in and out viewer of that show. So I hope you don't mention something I may not be familiar with.
Well, the last season, the character of Phil Leotardo was talking to his grandkids, mm-hmm. and he says to him, "When we came over to Ellis Island, our name was Leonardo, like Leonardo da Vinci.
Okay.
And they changed it to Leotardo. I don't know if you remember that scene.
No, I don't.
One kid says, "Well, why'd they do that, Grandpa? Because they were stupid. That's why. You know." And I'm gonna roll with that. As far as liberals. Why do they do what they do? Why would they support a guy? Worry about what you say, who you say, cancel culture. So many people I know were Facebook jailed for what? For nothing. For basically stating things we know now that are correct, like ivermectin and the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've come to the determination they're stupid. And it's okay, you know, and they're ignorant. And when it comes to brain surgery, I'm extremely ignorant. I own that. That's fine. When it comes to... you know, you got to be, essentially, I've got something I put up occasionally when I feel like it. It's a herd of sheep standing there looking all dumb. And the caption is, waiting for the Democrats to tell us what to be upset over. Liberals.
Yeah.
So you know, you know what? It's ridiculous. Now, the big, beautiful bill, I guess, that passed the Senate today. And I'm listening to Chuck Schumer rattle on, you know, I was flipping back and forth. I distinctly remember when he's talking about, oh, they brought in the dead of night, blah, 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 blah. Well, rewind a little bit, Chucky. Do you remember when Nancy Pelosi said, oh, we've got to pass the bill first, then you can read it? I didn't forget that.
Never.
So, the hypocrisy is unreal. And you know what? Trump has proven to be more right than he is wrong.
Yeah.
And insofar as what he's doing, you may not understand what he's doing at the moment. But, like, you know, he's been right more times than he's been wrong. And I'm going to go really quick back to the bombing in Iran of that nuclear facility.
Yeah.
Now, he told them within 2 weeks, I'm going to act on it.
Right.
He already pulled the trigger. Okay.
Right.
And it was already in motion. Now, I'm ex-military, and there's a statement out there that's called, you got to be there on a need-to-know basis.
Right.
The majority of the dodos out there have no need to know.
Right.
Okay? The bottom line, people that know what they're doing, and people are going to disagree with me, I don't care, whatever. But people that know what they're doing are doing what they're doing. And they've been vetted, I believe. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm ignorant. But the bottom line is, what happened soon thereafter, they did what they did. Oh my goodness! Let's have a truce with Israel, like,
you know,
the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Jesus.
Dave, let me interject real quick, because there's something very important you said about the need to know thing, and that's the part that people forget. There were so many people howling on television about what they weren't allowed to know before it happened. What they failed to realize was that for them, the commodity was arguing about what they didn't know. If they were told ahead of time, they would have used that same information as a commodity and told everyone. You know what I mean? Because the objective for them is that that information for them, every one of them would have been itching to get it to a news outlet so that they can assist the news media in letting everyone else know what we were planning to do so that there can be an outrage about it. There's so much about
that. Real quick, one thing I noticed about this term with President Trump versus the first term, he really cleaned house.
Sure
he got rid of all the Vindmans and all the other freaking people that were, whatever color underwear he's wearing, somebody was leaking into the press. How many scoops of ice cream? Somebody was leaking into the press.
That was a crazy one. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate you, buddy. Let's get our first check of the weather and traffic with Jason Caterina and Mark Christopher in a BPS Traffic Center. How we doing, buddy?